20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can always go over and check us out at cheeseheadtv.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Andrew Mertig. Andrew, it's a Friday show. Super excited to do this with you. What's going on, man?
Yeah, it's great to be back. We're also hosting the YouTube stream today, so that's very exciting. Kyle is showing off his St. Louis Cardinals pride, so please judge him accordingly. Of course, it's kind of gross. But we're you know, really getting into the off season. Believe it or not, it's going to be June soon, and I think that means that we'll be transitioning over into our series of previewing the upcoming opponents for the season. But you know, there's still a lot of really interesting things that can happen. And I know, like, the big news of this week was already covered, and that is the Jair Alexander extension, which is going to free up some cap room. I know many of us are eager to blow through that as quickly as possible. I believe Aaron Nagler said that it was something like comparing to his daughters about wanting to spend their money as soon as they have it. And yeah, we can do that. Because we're not the GMs, and we don't have to worry about what Russ Ball is going to think of this. So we thought it might be fun to take a look at what free agents are still out there. Maybe some that the Packers might want to consider using a little bit of those excess funds to go get.
Yeah, we don't have to be responsible. This is not our money. So, we understand that the Packers have a little bit more wiggle room in this cap situation, and that means that they're going to have room for, you know, the essentials, right? If we're being practical, they got to pay for the practice squad, room to make some moves during the season and those kinds of things. But we also know that this team is all in for this season, and there are some places where the Packers are strong in the starting lineup, but certainly lack some depth. So it wouldn't be crazy to see them get a little aggressive, maybe scrape together a little bit of the cash and make a move or two to strengthen the depth of this roster. So we're going to go ahead and throw out a name or two, maybe on each side of the ball, that we really think maybe could interest Green Bay at this point in the offseason when those contracts aren't so crazy. So let's start, Andrew, if you're good. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball and get into some of this. Who can you see the Packers still making an effort to sign at this point in the offseason?
Yeah, so, like, there's a ton of big names out there, and everybody's very attracted by the big names. You know, you could look at tackle. Somebody like Dwayne Brown from Seattle, or most recently Seattle. Eric Fisher was on the Colts last year. He's still available at wide receiver. You got Odell Beckham, right? Everybody loves to talk about Odell Beckham. Packers favorite, Will Fuller. You have Julio Jones, of course, right? Yeah. Everybody's clamoring to get Julio on board. At tight end, Rob Gronkowski is still available. Perk your ears up on that one. J.C. Treader still floating out there.
Yeah, one-time Packers great. Yeah.
The Cornell alum, J.C. Treader. And don't forget, Antonio Brown still unsigned.
Another Packer favorite, right?
Please no. Please, it will never die. Please no. So anyways, we're talking about which offensive players Packers might actually sign, which is not Antonio Brown.
So do I get to go now?
You good to go first.
Okay, all right. Let's get started here. I've got my eye on a couple guys I'm excited to talk about on the show today. I feel like we could totally see the Packers make that addition at wide receiver. Will Fuller makes a ton of sense. We know that the Packers have coveted his skill set in the past, and it's unlikely that he's going to cost a lot at this point, right? But I'm actually going to go in a little bit different direction here, and I am shopping in the bargain bin of the tight ends, and I'm not sure that Tanyan is going to be good to go at the start of the season. Lewis brings a totally different element than Tanyan does, and I think the jury is still kind of out on DeGuara. So I think the Packers bringing someone else in, especially if Tanyan were to start on the PUP, could make a ton of sense. And the first two names that come to mind, I'm going to talk about two guys, but the first one is Kyle Rudolph. And of course, we know he was with the Vikings for a long time, recently spent time in New York with the Giants, but he's still a free agent and he intends to keep playing. He's 32 years old. And so he's definitely kind of approaching the latter portions of his career, but he is someone that I think can give you enough as a blocker and as a receiver to really help your offense out. And he's an experienced veteran. He can come in, perform at a higher level than maybe someone like Daphne or these guys like Eli Wolf or Tyler Davis. No disrespect to those guys. They just aren't the seasoned veterans that someone like Rudolph is. The other name I'm going to throw out and put in the mix here is former Packer Jared Cook. And I know that there were some hard feelings between the Packers and Cook when they couldn't get a new contract worked out. But 2016, that was a long time ago, Andrew. So that was a different GM. That was a different head coach. And I just think if you're looking for someone who can give you a little bit in the receiving game until Tonyan is ready, Cook can still be that guy, right? He's not the player that he once was. He's 34 years old. But he still had 79 targets for the Chargers last year. And I think the familiarity with Rodgers, right? They've played together. That could prove valuable in that first half of the season if they're just trying to get by until they get Tonyan back. So both Rudolph and Cook, they're going to be real cheap, right? They're going to be $3, $4 million deals. I can see the Packers making that call here at some point this summer.
Is Eli Wolf like Elliot Wolf's pretend name that he's trying to get on a roster now?
Right. They're like, you can't be the new GM. So he's like taking the back door and he's bulked up. He's like
5'5", 150. So I have a hard time imagining playing tight end. But
he's done nothing but drink energy or like protein drinks for a couple of years. And he's real big now.
I didn't know there was a Packer roster level player named Eli Wolf. So yeah. Egg on my face. But yeah. So if you're walking into Target, right, the two guys you just talked about, Kyle Rudolph, Jared Cook, they're in that like front section, real cheap section,
right?
But there could be some surprising value there. The player I'm going to talk about was once a high price commodity and is now in the clearance section, like the deep clearance section. Yeah, and that is T.Y. Hilton, who I like to call Tyrannosaurus Yeoman Hilton. this is a big name pick. But really, like, I can't get past the feeling that he still has something left in the tank. This is a guy who's proven that he can be a reliable threat, even with questionable quarterback play at times during his career. And I think this is a situation where you could just see, like, who's going to win the camp battle between T.Y. Hilton and Sammy Watkins. You got two veteran options. You throw them both out there. Who develops better rapport with Rodgers? And then also, like, who stays healthy during the preseason? And whichever one doesn't, you know, it's sort of like the Joker breaking the pool stick and saying, we got a roster spot for one of you. And you just let him fight it out. And then, you know, neither one of those guys is going to play special teams. So you just see. And then, potentially, I'm just saying, maybe T.Y. or Sammy doesn't make the roster, but they could be hanging around. And then when the Packers have other roster moves to make, they could potentially look at that. But of the veteran free agent, like wide receivers, I think Hilton has the most appeal, even if he's not like the flashiest name that is available.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And I think we're at the point in the offseason where you made the analogy to like we're in the discount area. This is the clearance section of Target. At some point, you just make the purchase because maybe it's something that it's better than what it's marked as, right? Like there's that chance and you just go ahead and make the move.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and no comp picks, right? Like the comp pick formula is over, and so you can roll the dice on somebody and it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. I got a Justin Herbert jersey for $7 at Target because they put it in the wrong Target because we're obviously out of market. I'm just throwing that out there. That was the steal of a lifetime, right?
Well, I hope you find somebody on eBay and find a good home for
that. Maybe that happens. Okay, I'm going to move on here to another guy. This is tough because I'm honestly not sure that the Packers have a ton of room to add offensive line to this roster, right? After the draft, there's so many guys in that room. But there's a difference between a young developmental player and someone who's stacked success year after year in the league. And if the Packers plan to move Elgton Jenkins to tackle when he returns, you can certainly make the argument that there's a little bit of a hole there to fill at guard. And Quentin Spain is someone who is at a minimum, a league average starter at guard. And he's familiarity with Matt LaFleur. They're both in Tennessee in 2018. So maybe kind of a long shot because of the way that that offensive line room is stacked right now. But I like the fit, and I think he's a savvy move if they kind of want to avoid some of those hiccups with a young player early on.
Yeah, and that's an interesting name. I think I was clamoring for Quentin Spain the year the Packers hired Matt
LaFleur. I think
LaFleur.
You were. Yeah, I remember
that.
So
that's an interesting callback for me. I had the same position for my next player, but different player. And that is Darrell Williams. And so, like, I would follow the exact same arguments that you made for Spain, right? Like, getting that veteran presence. The difference with Darrell is he showed the ability to flip between guard and tackle for the Bills last season. And I think he could be a really fun veteran addition with some awesome versatility. So he can play right tackle if Yash isn't ready for that or not capable of flipping over to the right side. And then potentially kick inside if he's playing well when Elton comes back. So, you know, it's the same idea. It's amazing, though. Like, you look at some of the names that are out there. These are, like, starting quality offensive linemen. Just be available at this point in free agency.
I've heard some Bills fans are kind of confused with, like, Darrell Williams is a player that they would like to see back. You know, you hear some of these fan bases, like, at some point, these guys that are still out on the market, they're like, wouldn't our team be better if these guys were here? So it's going to be really interesting just to see where these guys fall in general, even if they're not Packers.
Yeah, so let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball and see if there's anybody that we'd be interested in signing. Of course, you have defensive lineman Akeem Hicks still hanging out there. Jadeveon Clowney, who is always available at this time of year. He's just waiting until all of the offseason stuff is done so he doesn't have to go through workouts. You have edge Derek Barnett of the Philadelphia Eagles, linebacker A.J. Johnson from Denver, Larry Ogunjobi, the defensive lineman, Bryce Callahan, the corner, linebacker Anthony Barr from the Vikings, of course, cornerback Chris Harris Jr., Sheldon Richardson, Landon Collins, Kyle Fuller, Jamie Collins, Carlos Dunlap. There's a ton of really talented veteran players who have made a lot of money in the past. A significant amount of these players have. But, you know, are a lot of those are entering the twilight of their career, but could still be really, really fun developmental pieces. So you got a name that you want to throw onto this list, Kyle?
I do. And actually, there's a big name that pops to me just of, you know, Packers connection. We know that the Packers have been infatuated. I'm going to say the name. Kyle Fuller, right? They've been infatuated with this corner for a long time.
I thought you were going to say something else. My bad.
Oh, no, it's good. Yeah, this is true, though, right? Like, Brian Gutekunst has had his eye on Kyle Fuller for a while, and we know that the Packers could certainly use some depth at corner, but I'm just not sure that there's enough of a path to immediate playing time for Fuller, as good of and solid of a player as he's, even as an aging player, for him to sign with the Packers. He kind of knows that there's not that path, at least immediately. But I do think there's some other really interesting names to keep an eye on for the Green Bay Packers. Honestly, I'm going to say it, Andrew. I'm going to do it. One of those names is Kevin King, okay? There are about a half dozen corners who could be really interesting pickups for the Packers. But most of those guys, they might be better players. I'm just going to say it. But most of those guys are 31, 32. There's some 33-year-olds on that list. Kevin King's 27. And I'm not going to sit here and argue for Kevin King's ceiling. I think we kind of know what he is. But I do think he's going to be cheap, right? He's not in demand. He wasn't in demand last offseason when there was a little bit more of a hope that maybe, you know, maybe some of those playoff performances were – they weren't the full player, right? We were just remembering those things more importantly than the rest of his journey. But he's not in demand now, right? And so he's going to be cheap. Nobody wants him, unfortunately, poor guy. But he knows the defense. He's a quality depth piece. And fans may not like Kevin King, but the reality is he's probably a starting level corner for half the teams in the NFL. He's one of the top three corners on most rosters in this league. So if he's your fourth option, your first guy off the bench, you could do a lot worse than that. So I know that that's not going to be popular, but the longer he's out there, the longer a reunion probably makes sense for the Packers.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that depending on the contract size he got, it may actually save the Packers room to have him on the roster.
I wondered about that.
because of what he's owed, I think they can actually like slim down their cap number by signing. So that's interesting. It's interesting that there seems to be like no momentum in that direction, but I don't know. I'm going to go with a different secondary player, and that is Landon Collins, who is an interesting name because he'd give the Packers the third safety that I think we all thought that they were going to address in the draft. But last year demonstrated he's much better at playing in the box as a hybrid linebacker. So he would give them that flexibility to be an injury insurance for Amos or Savage. Like, not ideal, because I don't love him as a deep safety, but he also plays some of that fun dime stuff. So he's going to give you those dime linebacker reps in addition to the linebackers Packers already have, and give them a whole bunch of flexibility, move guys on and off the field. Now, Collins made a lot of money in Washington, right? like a lot. So I'm not sure he'd want to just title chase somewhere else. Maybe he's done. Maybe he lost his passion. But he's definitely a name. I think Jaquiski Tartt is the lesser known player, but he's actually better.
Yeah.
I personally have a really hard time getting past watching him drop the game-winning interception that would have ruined Matthew Stafford's whole reputation and prevented the Rams from winning the Super Bowl. Not that I wanted the 49ers to win, but Tart's fun too. And like, it's interesting that he's still out there. I know, you know, we've seen safeties who have had like really, really good track records, just like not sign in free agency for whatever reason. So I think I like the idea of Landon Collins mostly as like the third, maybe fourth linebacker in addition to being depth at safety, but Jaquiski Tartt would be a really fun one too.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do at safety, because it's kind of thought that the Packers have always played so many three safeties. People have kind of commented that kind of started to taper off towards the end of the season last year, maybe not playing as many three safeties on the field at the same time. And then when they completely, I don't want to say ignored it in the draft, but so many people thought that they would be addressing it in the draft, and they didn't. It'll be interesting to see if maybe that Jair commitment to playing a lot of that star slot role, maybe that's kind of a concession that they're going to make, is like, Jair's our star, and maybe we roll with two safeties, and it's a different kind of a little bit different of a feel with that, you know, kind of a star power in your slot, you know, position. So it'll be interesting to see how they roll. You ready for me to jump into this next one?
Let's do it.
Okay, so Justin Houston is my next one here. And the Packers obviously signed Whitney Mercilus last offseason to be that depth rusher who has a ton of NFL experience, who could still be effective in probably a reduced role. That's kind of the idea. And Justin Houston feels like that guy this offseason, right? He's someone we know the Packers were interested in a few years back when he ended up in Indy. He's now 33 years old, so he is getting up there, but he can certainly still bring it as a pass rusher. He was PFF's 19th overall edge rusher in 2021, which was surprising to me. That's pretty remarkable for him to continue to produce at that rate at his age. So if you can get him on the cheap, and he can be your third or fourth guy and be a veteran presence for guys like Gary and Barre as he's coming up as a rookie, I think that's a pretty sweet setup if you can add him to the room. So curious to see what his price tag is. But again, at this point, you can't imagine that it's going to be huge.
Yeah, and it's funny because we picked the same position again. Different players.
What are we doing?
I had Trey Flowers, right? And I feel like the role of the third pass rusher is something the Packers could really use. You just laid out that argument brilliantly, so I'm not going to rehash that.
Thank you.
So some justification, or same justification as you, just like a different player. And Flowers certainly made his bag with the Lions, right? This is the same argument I'm making as Landon Collins. Like,
right,
you already made your money. Do you want to go chase a ring? And if he still has the desire to play, he may as well just jump to a division rival. This takes all the pressure off of him as a player, right? He goes from being like this huge, colossal free agent addition to just the third guy. You just throw him in the rotation. The Packers get a really good run defender on the edge, which I know that they appreciate, who can also rush the passer. And if I'm remembering correctly, he has the ability to kick inside a little bit. So I do think Trey Flowers to New England, as the Patriots love to do, right? Watch those guys go get paid and then bring them back at the end of their career, kind of like Jamie Collins, who's another available free agent. I do think that makes a ton of sense, but I also think for the Packers' sake that he could be a really, really interesting dynamic as that third pass rusher.
Yeah, and we saw them in the draft. I think this is an interesting dynamic to see how this plays out because we saw them really just take the best player available and these guys who just kind of seemingly fell to them in Igbinogu and in Walker late as a tackle and maybe some positions that they were maybe not planning on emphasizing at those places in the draft. But so it'll be interesting to see if Brian Gutekunst does dip back into this free agent pool to kind of not fix those things. But when you're free enough to follow the draft and get the best players for your team and not force need to fill certain positions, you like that ability to kind of bounce back to this free agent pool and make some of those additions to kind of balance things out. And I think we could see that at safety, at edge rusher, at some of these spots that the Packers maybe didn't address in some of the ways that maybe we thought that they would.
Yeah, but that's all the time that we have for today. So we'll see if this any of what we just said comes to fruition at all. This has been the Packaday Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, I've always wanted to do this, Kyle, even though I've hosted YouTube several times. Like and subscribe below. If you're listening to the audio version, we'd love for you to take a look at giving us a review and subscribing as well. You can catch Kyle on Twitter at Packer_pundit. You can catch me at Andrew Mertig. Kyle Maggie will be back next week. And myself can be heard every single Friday. Next week we'll be back breaking down more of the off season. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember